1. It's a great joy to be with you again this morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. We read from verse 1 to verse 6. We'll spend our time in the first part of verse 1 and then verse 6 today. And verse 6. Matthew chapter 2.
Matthew, hola bube. Aso chere. Hoba Jesu atolle Bethlehem e Judea. Mihlenya go senya hona. A fitla Jerusalem ba ba bohlale ba tswa botshabela. Ba re. Le kae go tsiya ba Juda e tsetseng. Re bone ngale di ya yona ha isaha. Me re tlo e khumamela. Ja re ha go tshe a utlwa. Afrika na hammo le ba Jerusalem ka ofela. Mme ho ba a bokella ba priesta ba ba holo botle le ditsebi tsa molao tsa tshaba. Ba botsa mo Kreste a loketseng ho tswala teng. Ba yena Bethlehem e Judea. Ho ba ne ho ngotse jwale ke mo profeta ha are. Ha ile wena Bethlehem e na ya Juda. Ha o hlile ha o munyanyane ha holo. Ha ga ba tsamaisi ba Juda. Hobane o wena ho tlatswa motsamaisi ya ka alosa Israele setšhaba sa.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born, who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. We have just sang, "Joy to the Lord, the King is born," and the title of the message, "The King is born." Sounds like Christmas in June. And we have been looking at this King Jesus, while he was still in the womb of Mary, and now he is born. Maybe the title should have been, "Welcome, King Jesus." But that would have been misleading as well, as we shall see in the next 2 weeks, that the Lord, the King Jesus, was not really welcomed by all people. Some seek to kill him. And we will see next week as well, God willingly, that some did seek to worship him. But for this king to be really different from any other king that has ever lived, he has to be a greater king than the great King David. He needs to be wiser than King Solomon. And you can remember, we did say in the previous preachings, and when we proclaimed the word of God, that the Jewish nation, the whole Jewish nation, was expecting the Messiah to come into the world. But one thing we should mention as well is that they were expecting him to be born in Bethlehem, to be born in the city of David.
o tla bona gore ne ba ne ba lebeletse go tlahlaga Bethlehem e motseng o nana wa Dafida.
Today Matthew writes and say he was born in Bethlehem.
Jale Matthew ke nna mo nna gore ntobilahlaga Bethlehem.
But as you read this chapter and you go on to read until chapter 28, until you go to the end of the book, you realize there's a kind of contradiction. The people were waiting for the Messiah, but now immediately they are rejecting the very same Messiah that they've been waiting for. There's already a tension when you read chapter 2. There's already a tension. There are those who come seeking to worship him and others seeking to kill him. But all these people have been waiting for the very same Messiah. Let me just say a few things that I was supposed to say in 2 weeks to come. You can see that people are really not waiting for Jesus. People are not really sitting there hungry for Jesus, desiring Jesus. It is not true that people are sitting at home or sitting in Olivet hungry for Jesus, waiting for someone who will come and just preach the good news to them. That is not true. People are waiting, knowing that there is Christ, and are waiting to reject him. If that was true, this tent will be full without you going to them. If it was true, all the churches would be full, that people are seeking Jesus. Although we shall see by God's grace next week that some do seek to worship him. But what we have this morning is the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but that it is answered the question, who is it that is born in Bethlehem? Who is it that is born during this reign of King Herod? Which is why we're looking at verse 1, part of verse 1, then we look at verse 6. God wants us this morning to see that he who is born in Bethlehem existed before he was born. So his beginning is not in Bethlehem. He comes from days of old. That will help us to understand Jesus. That will help us to worship him in truth and in spirit. So we shall look at this in 3 points. One, he was born in Bethlehem. He was born a ruler or a governor. He was born a shepherd. Verse 1 says he was born in Bethlehem. You see, one of the most important people in this world is the US President, Sir Barack Obama. But not all Americans know where Barack Obama was born. And the few that knows where he was born, they actually don't care. It doesn't matter to them. But there is one person who's more important, although he may not be regarded by the many or the multitude that he is important, but that person, it matters to know where he was born, and this is Jesus Christ. For him to be qualified by scripture, to be the one who comes into the world to save people from their sin, we need to know where he was born, so that it goes hand in hand with God's promises. Few things Matthew mentions here to give us surety that what he's writing is true. He says he was born during the reign of King Herod. That is historical. You can search, you will find there was a King Herod, and during his reign there was a child named Jesus that was born. Secondly, he was born in Bethlehem. That is also historical. So he makes this unquestionable claim of the accuracy of this book. And also some kind of a validation of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we see here this morning is that God chose a little and despised town called Bethlehem for his son to be born. You read verse number 6, it tells us that Bethlehem was least among the tribes of Judah. So God loves to exalt the despised and the little things of the world. So though Bethlehem looked small and despised in the eyes of people, but it was not so in the eyes of the Lord, because the King of Kings is born there. So Bethlehem stands today as a great example of God bringing greatness out of the ordinary. You can remember King David. King David was also born in Bethlehem. Now King Jesus born in Bethlehem. You can think of some comparison you can make between David and Jesus. These two great Bethlehemites. These two great men born in Bethlehem. David was an ordinary man, came from an ordinary family, and he had an ordinary job of shepherding his father's flock. And by God's grace, when God rejected King Saul to be the king of Israel, David was taken from his ordinary life, then he became the greatest king of Israel. And today we think of Jesus Christ. The scripture says he also came to a little town called Bethlehem. He was born there in the manger. What a humbling. What an humbling thing it was for him. A humbling beginning for our Lord. But he also took an ordinary job of shepherding God's people. He became the king of Israel. He was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the house of bread. So now the true bread which comes from heaven comes to the house of bread, because there is no bread in the house of bread. So come to the house of bread to give bread to those who live where they're supposed to be bread. He comes as the bread of life, to give life to those who does not have life, those who are alive by thinking they are alive though they are dead. He comes to the nations, who think they have everything, but he comes as bread to show that we are hungry and are thirsty. And now, because of him, those who believe in him will never be asked, will never be thirsty, and shall have eternal life. So friends, regardless of how despised you may be, God is able to bless you. God is able to use you for his own glory. So let there be nothing that despise you. Let there be nothing that despise what God has blessed. We're living in a time where people look down on other people. But friends, God is not a respecter of people. Let nothing despise what God has blessed. So to say he was born in Bethlehem, it was really important for the people that Matthew was writing to. It is also important for us.
Because
this tells us of who really this child is. You can see, if you look in your Bibles in verse number 6, Matthew is making a direct quotation from Micah chapter 5 verse 2. Again, here's another prophecy being fulfilled in this child. Micah 2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler of Israel." Listen carefully. Whose coming forth is from of old? From ancient days. So Matthew now reveals to us that this Jesus, this child that is born, is not just an ordinary man, though fully man, but he's also fully God, because he comes from ancient days. That is why Matthew quote here in verse 6, quote Micah, because Micah is the one that says the child who is to come into the world is from of old. So he's not from here below, but he's from above. He existed before the world was created. Before there was anything in this world, he was there. When the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep, he was there. When God said, "Let there be light, let us make man," he was there. John says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." So John, John is taking us to the time before there was time.
He
said this one existed at that time. It was because of him that we have time. So for him to be born in Bethlehem is just to identify him according to scripture, as God has promised how he will come into the world. Jesus himself said in John 8, John, before Abraham was, I am. And the people there, when he was talking to them, brothers and sisters, they understood what he meant. Listen to what they said. They said, we are not even 50 years old, but you claim you have seen Abraham who lived 2,000 years before you were born. How can this be? So they understood what he meant. They can see that he's actually claiming to be the Jehovah, the Yahweh of Old Testament. He identifies himself as the I Am, the one who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. The one who led his people and opened the sea for them, and they walked in dry ground. He led them in the wilderness, taking them to the promised land, to the land of milk and honey. So what is Matthew doing here is trying to help the people to have a correct view of Jesus Christ. He's trying to introduce the king so that they may see this king is different than the king that they have, King Herod. This king is different than the king we spoke about last week, King Ahaz, who didn't trust in the Lord. This king is from ancient days. So this is God coming into the world and taking upon himself human form. So he wants those who believe to have great joy that the one they expected to come has already come into the world. That they may be strengthened, that their belief is not in vain, their waiting is not in vain. So friends, we serve one who comes from ancient days. His birth from Bethlehem was not his beginning. He comes from days of old. The question is, how does that make you think of Jesus? If he's from ancient days, does that make your hopeless situation hopeful? Because now you know when you call upon his name, you're calling upon the God who created the heavens and the earth. Does it make you bow down before him and worshiping him? Does it make you like the wise man we're going to look at next week, who came all the way far to come seeking to worship God, to bow before his holy throne or before his feet? Because when we are calling upon him now, brothers and sisters, we are no longer calling to the prophets that we used to call to in the days when we were in sin.
How is it that our prophet Abakal won a visa to one of the apostles?
We are calling upon God.
Obisa omudimu how is it?
But there's something more.
The
question remains: why would one come from ancient days to live among his people? He says in verse 6, he was born a ruler. If you have the King James, he says he was born a governor. So this is one who comes to lead his people. This is one who comes possessing power to rule his people, those who shall follow him. This is one who comes with power and high authority to rule and to command. He's a ruler. He has a following. He has people who recognize him as Lord. This is someone who will govern with supreme authority over those who are in his kingdom.
That
he says the prince has come. Now you can understand why Herod was so angry. Herod hears that a king has come, but Herod is a king. In the same way, there are people, even among us or outside of us, people who are really kings of their own lives. And when you share Jesus with them, you say the king wants to come to be a king in your life, they will reject him because they want to always be king of their own lives.
So,
King Herod sits there and is thinking that this one who's coming is coming to take over and overrule the kingdoms of this world, but not so, my friends. But not so. He comes to rule over the people that belongs to him. Those who believe in him. He comes to be God over his own. He comes to rule the lives of the believers. To lead them home. Comes to call men and women to follow him. He comes to heal our infirmities and diseases. He comes to raise people from the dead. He comes to liberate people from the bonds of Satan by casting demons from them. And finally paralyzes the mission of the devil in order that he may save for himself a people by his precious blood, people from all the nations of the world. So verse 6 speaks of Judah. It says, Bethlehem in the land of Judah by no means lives among the rulers of Judah. It reminds us that it was prophesied that someone will come from the tribes of Judah and be called the Lion of Judah. It was prophesied that Judah as a tribe will be a tribe where the Messiah will come. The name Judah derived from one from the 12 sons of Jacob, if you read in the book of Genesis. Let me give you a summary. It was Judah who saved his brother Joseph when the other brothers wanted to kill him. And many years later, when Joseph was a ruler in Egypt, it was Judah who saved the house of Jacob. Judah made himself a pledge. He became one standing for someone else. He stood for his brother
Benjamin.
Instead of Benjamin remaining in Egypt, Judah decided to be the one to take the place of Benjamin. And many years later, when Jacob was dying, he called his sons and listened to the blessing that he gives to Judah. And I want you to think about this and see how it corresponds with the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 48. And then we'll see from this passage, we'll see great prophecy about the type of Judah. We read that Judah will be victorious and successful in the battle. Genesis 49. Look at verse number 8.
Oh, verse 8.
Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. So Judah will be victorious and successful, but Judah will also be praised. Judah will be strong and courageous, like a lion. But it says he shall have also dominion over his brothers. He says, your father's sons shall bow before you. In verse number 8. So all the sons of Jacob will bow down to Judah. And they will praise Judah. And Judah will be victorious. Judah will be strong and courageous. Judah will be successful. He'll be strong like a lion if you read in verse number 9. And we know, brothers and sisters, a lion is one of the vicious but strong animal in the field. In the jungle, no one can resist his roar. Verse number 10.
Over 10.
It says Judah will be a royal tribe, and the tribe where the Messiah shall come. Already in Genesis 49, the Messiah is prophesied to come from the tribes of Judah. Read verse number 10. It says, the sculptor shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Those with the privilege of having the King James, so accurate and so true, it says in verse number 10, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the peoples be. So someone will come and he will gather the people, and he will come from the tribe of Judah. That speaks of the promised seed of Abraham was to come to the world, and all the nations of the world shall be blessed through him. Look at Revelation chapter 5. A very beautiful text. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 5.
Chapter 5, verse 1 to 5.
It says, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within, and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seals.
Also, chapter 5, Eric. Kana to hole le tona la ya ditseng tronen ka bona buka e motsweng ka mahohle e bitsetseng ka dibitsielo tse supleng ka baka bona le moloi le mata le fa ka tsang ka le tle phahami le re ke mang ya lokela go phetla buka le go magolla dibitsielo tsa yona Epa ona ba se motho lo godimong. Tapa le fatse tapa botemong ba le fatse. Ya ka fetla mbuka le ha ene go ebala. Ya bakella ha go tsoko. Go ba o sa ka hafumana ya lokelang go fetla buka le ha ene go ebala. Epa emong wa baholo a re honna o se ka balla. Bona tau ya le lokola Juda le somela la Dafita o hlotse. O tla phetla buka le go magolla dibitelo tse supileng tsa yona.
So Revelation says the root of David, spoken about the root of David,
la Dafida
is the lion of the tribe of Judah.
O re ke ena tau ya le lokola Juda.
He's saying the Old Testament conquering lion we have spoken about is Jesus Christ. So this is the one who will be praised. This is the one who will be above his brothers. This is the one whose brother shall honor. This is the one who comes to lead and direct the people of God. The one who will gather his people as 49 Genesis said to us. People who are scattered throughout the world, he shall gather them together for himself. He shall come and give them his law, and he shall write his law on their hearts. And they shall praise him, and they shall honor him, they shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. Because he's the one who comes to save us from our sins. So those, my friends, who have come in faith and repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in his government. They are under his rulership. He's their ruler, he's their guider, he's their lawgiver. And they themselves shall be victorious. They themselves shall be successful. They'll be victorious in the battle, as Judah was prophesied to be victorious in the battle. The battle against sin, the battle against evil, they'll be victorious. The battle against temptations and trials, they will be victorious. Because he has given us the full armor of God so that we may stand in the days of trial. And whenever we sin, he forgives us. Because he is our ruler, our guider, and our commander. And we begin to do things in accordance to his will. How so? Because he has given us a new heart. And we believe in him. He is our God. And God is for us. So Matthew says the ruler has come. He's the one who's born in Bethlehem, the one who was prophesied, the one who is above his people, the Lord of his people. The question then is, are you in the kingdom of the Messiah? If you are in the kingdom of the Messiah, are you obedient in the kingdom of the Messiah? Are you a citizen that lives by the rules and the regulations of the ruler in the kingdom? He says, look no further. He's born among you during the reign of King Herod. Some will come to seek him, and some will come to seek to kill him. But there is more. Not only to govern his people, as we have seen, but also to be the shepherd of his people. Verse number 6. It says, for from you shall come a ruler. We have done that. who will shepherd my people Israel. That is also another prophecy. Matthew is bringing two prophecies together. He quotes Micah, where we were talking about the ruler. Now he brings 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 2, that one is coming to be a shepherd of God's people.
So the Matthew man of Wakan Joga Tepiso ya to Maike, Eva, Okaman of Wakan to Tepiso Esamon to Samuel or Kena, Esava Mudisawa Batuba.
So this one who's coming
Eva Adam
will not compare to any other king or any other shepherd that you know. This one will do everything and anything in his power to keep his sheep, to shepherd his flock. He will nourish his flock. And he will lead his flock to greener pastures, feeding them day by day, supplying their needs according to his riches in glory, giving them peace, giving them rest, the rest of their souls. So Matthew says, in other words, God was sitting in heaven and he looked down on earth and he saw a people like sheep scattered without a shepherd. Then he sent his son to be a shepherd of the people. He sends a shepherd who has power to protect, power to feed, power to nourish. A shepherd that will come and destroy your enemies. He will destroy the wolves that come seeking to devour the sheep. He will come and destroy Satan for them. He will come and destroy sin for them and sin in them. He will come and save them from himself, but for himself. So this is God coming down so that the sheep have rest and peace. This is God coming seeking the lost. This is God coming to bring back the drifted ones, to bind up the injured ones, and to bind up the injured ones, to strengthen the weak, to feed them, to feed the hungry. He will go to Calvary for them, because he seeks that which is lost. He will carry that wood upon his shoulders for them. He will bring those who are far off to God and bring them near to God. And he will take upon them a heavy load and give them an easy yoke. He will call them to salvation. He will sanctify them with his weight. And one day, he shall take them home. He shall bring them to God. He shall present them there, blameless and without spot. He shall bring them as a pure bride. Why? Or how? Because they have been to Jesus for the cleansing power. They are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Christ has taken away from them those garments which are stained with sin. So So friends, if you have come to Jesus,
we
have come to a shepherd. If you have not come to Jesus, you are lacking a shepherd. But those who have come, you see, when we talk about coming to Jesus, we're not talking about people walking to the front. That's why we normally don't do that. We don't want to give false hope to people so that they may think that they've done something. They walked and came to Jesus. It's a matter of the heart. It's not something that you can do with your feet. It's something that you can do with your heart. You need to come to Jesus with your heart. You need to open your heart to Him. You need to believe in Him that you are a sinner, He's a Savior. You cannot walk to Him, but you can come to Him. And those who have come to Him, they are no longer being shepherded in this world by sin, by death, and by Satan. They are alive. They are no longer dead. They are no longer feasting on sin. They are no longer indulging themselves in unrighteousness. Friends, for your sake, Christ took the most despised job in the world. He became a shepherd of your soul. For our own sake, Christ took the most dangerous job in the world. You know, shepherds in those days, they spent half of their lives in the wilderness looking after sheep. They never spent time home. And Jesus Christ Himself, He left His glory above and came to this sinful and depraved land, this foreign land, for your sake, so that He may be a shepherd for your soul. Shepherds used to sleep at the door of the sheep pen. They would do a big pen where they would put the sheep, and they would lie on the door so that the enemy, when he comes, he starts through. He must go through him before he gets to the sheep. And Jesus Christ Himself says, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the one who looks after and protects the sheep. If the enemy has to come, he has to go through me. But above all, He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd laid down His life for the sheep. Friends, this is the shepherd who led Israel from Egypt to the promised land, leading them like a shepherd leading a sheep. Now He leads us in our own lives. In our own trials, our own temptations and our own sorrows and our own pains and our own sufferings, He leads us like a shepherd. He's there for us. In the times of thirst, in the times of weariness, in the times of trial, He's a shepherd, the ruler of His people. I would like to say, if Jesus then is a shepherd, but as His probably correct me, says, since Jesus is a shepherd, He has a flock. The flock obeys Him. The flock follow Him. The flock worship Him. The flock only hears Him. And a stranger they will not follow, but they shall follow Him. They know His voice, and He knows them by name. They follow him. They listen. They trust, they obey. Here's the question. Here's the question. Whose flock are you? Who are you obeying? Who are you following? Who are you trusting in your days of trials? Who are you trusting and depending on the days of your temptations or your testings? Is Christ your shepherd? Or is sin your shepherd? Is Satan your shepherd? Is death your shepherd? Because friends, some are goats wearing sheep's clothing. I have to ask, who is leading you? Who are you honoring? Who have you given your heart to? Some are goats. You will never see until you start seeing them eating plastics. Then climbing walls. Then you ask, what kind of a sheep are you? You're supposed to be grazing with the rest. Why are you pulling the other way while other sheep are pulling the other way? How, why are you trusting and depending on other things when the sheep depend and trust in Jesus? Are you aware, my friends, that you need a shepherd? Are you aware that only Jesus is the shepherd who leads his sheep home, who brings his sheep home? Are you aware that you need a governor who's got a law, who's got rules, who governs his people and convicting the soul? Three things. He was born in the house of bread to be the true bread. The true bread came from heaven. Comes for the hungry. Are you hungry? Are you in need? Says those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, they come to him. Secondly, he was born a ruler. He was born a governor. To be victorious and be successful in the battle. That his brethren may praise and honor him. He came as a lion who comes to crush his enemies. And Revelation 5 says, the Lion of Judah has conquered. You can put trust in him. You can depend on him. Because you'll be out of control without him. You need someone to guide and to rule and to shepherd you. And without him, we are in great danger. Danger in this life. Danger in the life to come. Because without him, I'll find myself in hell. But he has come. That he may save us. To save us from our sins. And adopt us to his family. Seek for him who is born in Bethlehem. Seek for the ruler while he is still found. Call upon the shepherd while he is still near. How does that make you think of Jesus? He's from ancient days. Deserve all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Born in Bethlehem, he's the tribe of, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. The ruler and the shepherd of his people. If you give yourself, if you give your life to him, he will shepherd you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for your grace and for your mercy, for reminding us, O God, that you are the shepherd, you are the ruler, you are the king. We must obey, we must trust you. You are the one who guides us. We must bring all our anxieties upon you, O God. And you care for us, for we are the shepherd who nourishes us and take care of his sheep. You are leading us like the shepherd leading his flock to greener pastures, O God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you that we came to worship you, O God, to hear from you, to sing you praises, and to sing you all the adorations and worshiping you. Now and forever, we ask, O God, that you may remain with us, that you may keep us throughout the week, guide your people like a shepherd until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all.